This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
So joining us this morning, we're having one of our Journeys segment, and we've got Kedron Parker with us, who's joining us. Kedron's actually from New Zealand currently, but started off in the United States, and we thought we'd grab her while she's over here enjoying a break. So thanks for coming in,
Kedron. Hey, good morning.
Thank you. How are you enjoying Melbourne so far?
Oh, it's lovely. It's stunning.
Yeah, put on nice weather for you. And I know you've been getting out and about looking at...
It's one cafe after another.
That's right. There's one latte after another.
Just wonder how they keep doing business, but they do. But if you want a good coffee, come to Melbourne. So what brought you to Melbourne?
Sheila Purden did. My good friend Sheila Purden. I met Sheila when I was working at Wellington Access Radio in Wellington, New Zealand. And Sheila popped in there one day and said, I am a member of Joy FM in Melbourne, and I really love community radio, and I'd like to see what's going on in community radio in New Zealand. So she became a volunteer there and did marvelous things for our station. And so now I'm here in Melbourne visiting Sheila and finding out about Joy FM.
Excellent.
Fantastic. So what does Wellington Access Radio do, now that we've mentioned that?
Access Radio is the community radio station in New Zealand. There are 11 access stations from Auckland to Invercargill. And unfortunately, we don't have a huge range of community stations in New Zealand. So each local community station has to do a little bit of everything. Like, for example, at Wellington Access, we broadcast in 25 different languages to a lot of specialty communities. We have shows for gay and lesbian audiences. We have shows for youth. We have shows about disability. So we have to cover a huge range of topical areas and specialty listening audiences on one frequency. It's a challenge, but it makes it a really dynamic place.
The population isn't big, is it?
No.
I mean, it's probably smaller than Melbourne's now. Because we're heading for the 4 million in Victoria or Melbourne. So
4 plus. Yeah.
But I guess still, when you're pitching to different groups, it doesn't matter if it's, 10 or... 10,000.
Exactly.
The needs are there. Mm. So how does the jostling with your programming go? Your grid and what you put on when?
Well, we certainly don't do it by the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a small specialty community, let's say that you're representing a refugee community that we know has very small numbers in Wellington, it doesn't matter how few people are in your community. We will still give you airtime.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be hours and hours of airtime, but we will make space for you, even if everyone else has to move over to do it.
Yeah. So what's the mix of programs that you have in terms? Is it music, chat?
I'd say predominantly chat, because we're very concerned about getting information out to communities. Getting information out in the language they're comfortable with and the cultural context that they're comfortable with. And music from their homeland is also really important for our different communities because that gives them a sense of comfort and connection and feeling at home in New Zealand.
Yeah, having travelled, I guess, and when you hear radio or music in other countries that you can't relate to at all, it's hard, because I'm a great radio listener, but I know in some Asian countries I just can't connect with that. Mm-hmm. So I imagine the same for those people. Did people bring in their music to play? Is that how it happens?
Oh, yes. And they travel back to their home countries and come back with suitcases full of cassettes. It's really neat.
And stuff. How much crossover opportunities are there to actually talk about, say, gay and lesbian issues in one of the other sort of programs? Do you manage to sort of cross-pollinate that way?
We encourage that at every turn. Mm. And a lot of that happens informally when our different program makers get to meet in the hallways, have a cup of tea together. And that's why it's such an exciting place to be.
That's true. That's always been Joy's story, that it's like a town hall, it's like a village, it's where people actually physically meet as well, not just talk out air into space, but actually people do come together physically and develop new opportunities, new ideas.
That's great. That wouldn't usually meet either, their paths wouldn't usually cross. But you've got a lot more to your story than just Wellington. You didn't start off there. Do you want to tell us a bit of the early days of Kedron Park?
Well, I'll take one step back. Before I moved to Wellington, I was in Los Angeles. And it's really fun being young and single in LA. But I was a bit upset about the direction of politics in the United States. And I remember very clearly when Al Gore was pushed out. The election was stolen from Al Gore in a legal fashion. Mm-hmm. The state of Florida, which was being run by Jeb Bush, George Bush's brother, and went to Supreme Court, which was all Supreme Court justices They're appointed friends? By Bush Senior.
Yes.
We noticed over
my
here.
My goodness. Yes. And it's funny because I've traveled all over the world and I've often thought, well, America might suck, you know, because this was when Reagan years. Mm-hmm. America might suck, but at least we have democracy. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, having traveled to places that didn't have democracy, I knew that I was in a better position than most people around the world. And when I saw that election being stolen, I realized that I may have taken that for granted. Perhaps we do not have a real democratic system. I mean, even Jimmy Carter, who's observed elections all over the world, said that if he had witnessed that election overseas, he would have packed his bags and gone home.
Yeah.
So that was a bit of a time where I thought, I need to think about being somewhere else. And I very much resented my tax money paying for wars that I don't approve of. So
We make jokes about it, but it's actually, I can imagine, for someone who's a citizen who's grown up, it could be quite a personal sort of crisis to say, well, this is not what I want to do. This is not where I want to be. And now what do I do?
Yeah, and everybody I knew was having that same crisis.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody I know knows anybody who voted for George Bush.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it happens here. But America prides itself on its capacity to reinvent or become strong again. Do you think this has happened with Obama's election? Or are we still in the same sort of processes, same old argy-bargy and political?
Goodness gracious. I'm very optimistic about Obama. And, I mean, I just can't understate how much of an impact it's having. And all of my friends are over the moon. But after the smoke cleared, you realize, okay, the same folks who voted Obama in by landslide voted against Prop 8.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys will be aware of Prop
8.
And, that is a little bit of a reality that we have a lot further to go.
Yeah. So although it's moved a little to the left, we're still talking conservative people in many, many ways.
Yeah.
And I guess in times of financial crisis too, people tend to be less they take less risks all around.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, interesting. So you're sitting there in LA, loving the parties.
and I was playing a lot of music.
Yeah. What sort of, your own music?
Yes. I had a band called Menthol Hill. And
I think I used to smoke them. No.
Oh, goodness gracious. No, we didn't do that.
No, we
didn't. And let's see, we had a fabulous band. The drummer in Menthol Hill was Brian Glasscock, who was in the Motels did a lot of great session work with Dolly Parton, Joan Armatrading, and the Bee Gees. How Can You Mend a Broken Heart? That's him playing. So I was really lucky to play with some top-rate musicians. And Brian and I actually also played in another band called the Kids of Whitney High, which I'll tell you about later.
Okay,
Hey, would you like to hear some Menthol Hill?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
All right.
What's this?
Well, this song is called Shoots to Me, and see if you can pick my influences when you hear it.
All right. And you're listening to Saturday Magazine here on Joy 94.9 with Lee Ann and Nick. It's 28 minutes to 12 o'clock on this sunny Saturday, 33 degrees, and we're talking with Kedron Parker, who's our special guest this morning, and that was Menthol Hill, your band. You singing, I can pick you, not all the time. You had a couple of backup vocals, I hope. Otherwise, your range is incredible, Kedron. So, well, tell us about the song. What's Shoots to Me?
Shoots to Me. Oh, goodness gracious.
Keep it clean.
All right. Well, next question, Leah.
So did you write it?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, well, you better tell us about it then.
Go on. No, it's too personal, huh? All right, so you're in LA, you're performing around. Was that keeping you sustained financially performing, or did you have to do some other work as well?
Oh, very you much wish. Had to do other work as well.
I was being polite, I mean.
I did some really fun work in LA. My last job was at Klasky Csupa, which is a legendary animation studio that started The Simpsons. Amongst others, the shows that I worked on were children's animation shows like Rugrats, As Told by Ginger, Rocket Power, and Wild Thornberries, and it was a fantastic place to work. They also had an electronic music label that I worked at, so I had a lot of fun, met a lot of really creative people.
Yeah, so was it a lot of graphics, animation?
Of course, there is a lot of of a lot of visual artists working there. Mm-hmm. My role was more in the audio end of things and post-production.
Okay. So hence the link then with radio as well. So
yeah.
in that field. Because
yeah.
I mean, I've seen Rugrats. I haven't had a lot to do with them. So have you still got freebies now that you can give to your children? Did you have a stash of Rugrats toys?
Well, I do have. I have a number of DVDs. The kids, they're not tuned into that these days, so I think they'll appreciate it more when they're older.
Oh, fair enough, too. So you're in LA. There's George Bush gets in for a second term. Was it second or third? Second term.
Second.
So it was only two, thank God. Can I do two?
Oh, it was John Howard that did three.
Yeah,
no, my error.
My sympathy goes out to
you. So you're thinking, I'm paying tax, enjoying the work, playing a bit of music, but
it's
going downhill.
It was really, really depressing, and it just doesn't matter how many letters you write or how much protesting you do. It seems like sometimes in the States that you just cannot make any difference in the system. And Lorenzo and I had gone to New Zealand for a quick trip, and we're kind of blown out. Like when we found out that New Zealand has no nuclear energy, no nuclear mm-hmm. reactors, and doesn't even allow any nuclear-powered ships, including U.S. military ships in its water. So I'm thinking, that's really interesting. And they didn't go to war, as so many countries did, along with George Bush. But it was one night when we were sitting on the couch, the TV channel switched, and the volume was turned down, and we were about to start flipping the channels, and I said, wait a minute, what was that? And we go back and take a look, and there is a very, very awkward-looking drag queen in 80s garb. And the little symbol for public television on the bottom right-hand side, and I said, wait a minute, what is this? Because our public television station does not feature drag queens, except on the Antiques Roadshow, as I mentioned. And so we turned it up, and we just could not figure out what this was. And then there was a scene, it cut to a scene of these two old people sitting on a little bench outside their house, and the guy was saying, oh, I guess she's a okay bloke. And, you know, Lawrence, is this Australia? What is this?
Only in Australia.
Turns out it wasn't Australia. It was New Zealand, where we had just been, as a matter of fact, in Wellington. And the program was the documentary Georgie Girl about Georgina Beyer. And for anyone who has not seen it, I recommend you seek it out. It's a fantastic story. In fact, it continues to be a fantastic story because Georgina Beyer is still making a really big impact on New Zealand.
And for those that don't know, Georgina Beyer is?
Georgina Beyer is the first transsexual member of parliament in the entire world. And her rise in New Zealand is very interesting. She is of Maori descent and, had a bit of a hard time growing up. She used to be he and was, I think, hooking on the streets and doing a bit of drugs. And I think what helped lift her out of that was her involvement in theater and acting, and did a bit of TV work and decided to pursue that. Now, the odd thing is she decided to pursue it in Carterton, which is this tiny little town, a lot of sheep farmers outside Wellington, and very conservative. But she and a friend of hers jumped on the train and moved to Carterton, where they enrolled in community college classes in theater. And the teacher didn't show up one day, and she ended up teaching the class and started making some networks in the town and started being part of the community and having a good influence on the town, and so much so that she ran for city council and got in, and then ran for mayor and won.
Fantastic.
And this is a very conservative area, but they embraced her because she really cared about the community. And wouldn't you know it, when there was a national election, the Labour Party approached her and said, would you consider running mm-hmm. on the Labour ticket for the Wairarapa? She said yes, and it was such a long shot because, heck, it's a very conservative area.
Yeah, that's right.
Why would all these conservative white farmers elect a
transsexual stranger?
Maori.
Yeah,
Maori. Liberal.
Yeah.
And they did.
Yeah, and that's...
And they loved her. And she was in Parliament for quite a few years. And that last scene of Georgie Girl, she's addressing Parliament, I think is her maiden speech, and she had feathers in her hair, and she says, oh, well, you know, I've got a funny sense of humor, you know. And I just thought, you know what, lady, I want to be governed by you.
Yeah. Did she stay in for the last elections, or what's happened?
She retired. And I think, you know, she's talked about how it was really difficult for her to have any kind of private life, and
because she had a partner. I think I saw she had a partner, and that was difficult for the partner, I think.
Yes, yeah. She's very much under the microscope, as a lot of politicians are. And so she is now out of politics, but still working for a lot of really good causes. And she's a very effective politician, well-respected. And the fact that somebody could kind of rise up, you know, in terms of socioeconomic means, rise up in terms of sexual gender norms, and change people's minds.
Yeah.
And
if one can do it, more can do it. Yeah.
And I thought New Zealand must be a okay place.
And the absolute antithesis, if you like, of what you were experiencing in LA of the boys,
right,
the straight guys, the white guys, the money ruling it all, and then you see that.
Absolutely.
Well, we'll leave with that thought and come back shortly after this break. You're listening to Saturday Magazine with Nick and Leanne talking with Kedron Parker.
Don't miss the closing night feature, Affinity, at the 19th Melbourne Queer Film Festival, driven by Volkswagen, on March 29 at Acme Cinemas. Go online to mqff.com.au for full program details, ticket outlet info, and secure web bookings. Joy 94.9 is a proud radio partner to the 2009 Melbourne Queer Film Festival.
Our investment property philosophy is simple and very successful.
Wherever there's a market that's ready to grow, buy property direct, go.
Right now, we're building villas and townhouses in Victoria, where the population is predicted to grow by 1 million people over the next 3 years. For free updates and advice on investment property, log on and tick the box.
Wherever there's a market that's ready to grow, buy property direct, go.
By propertydirect.com.au, Australia's leading fulfilment builders.
Joy sponsor.
Joy 94.9.
And you're listening to Saturday Magazine with Nick and Leanne on Joy 94.9. It's 18 minutes to midday, and our special guest this morning is Kedron Parker. And we've been hearing how Kedron was feeling a bit disillusioned in LA, another however many years of George Bush, and then spotted Georgina Beyer documentary on the TV and thought, New Zealand, that's a cool place to go. So at that point, Kedron, who did you have to pack up, and what did you have to pack up to leave?
I sold most of my things, took my musical instruments and my studio, and moved to New Zealand. And started having babies. I started procreating right and left.
Thought, this is a safe place. I can start now.
How many have you pumped out so far?
I've got three.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty time consuming.
To say the least.
As well as running a radio station.
Mm.
So did these children speak 25 languages now? Because they've been babysat by all your...
all the broadcasters, yes.
Yeah. Exactly. No.
They speak Kiwi.
Uh-huh. Did you ever lose the Kiwi? So there must be some interesting accent mixes in your household then.
Well, if you get me drunk, you're going to hear all kinds of accents.
Where did you come from first?
I came from Virginia.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You lost a bit of that.
Yeah. We host more TV evangelism channels than any other state in the country.
I was going to ask what you're famous for, but that's it, huh? So
we're famous for much more than that. Yeah, we have the largest military institutions.
Great, it's getting better.
Yeah, and all the gay bars that go with it.
Oh, really? Oh, well, I guess.
Oh, they do they?
And yes, they do. And I mean, part of my anger growing up was the whole don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's still going on.
Oh, my gosh. They would bring the TV cameras into army barracks and say, okay, how many of you would feel comfortable if there were gay men sleeping here in these barracks with you? Raise your hand. Oh, you know, yes. And when...
And two arms come out of one bed.
Two right arms.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
That would be funny.
Very comfortable.
And having come from Norfolk, Virginia, which is the largest naval base in the world, and all the other armed services have big bases there, too. They're around the perimeter. There's a string of 13 of the most famous gay bars on the East Coast. And one of them has a big pink triangle, and around it is the marine slogan, Semper Fidelis, and all that, you know.
Always
and
hope,
so
yeah.
I was particularly aware of how shallow that don't ask, don't tell thing is. And if you got rid of all the queers in the military, you...
You'd be in trouble, yeah.
Yeah, the ranks would thin out pretty quickly.
Well, my partner was saying, who's also from the US, that apparently... a lot of the gay men in the military were in intelligence, particularly at knowing other languages and things like that. And once they started leaving, the army actually sort of lost
its
incredible resource. Well, but this resource of people being able to speak Middle Eastern languages and those sorts of things without, you know, any idea of obviously the contribution that
that's absolutely right.
So, you know, I don't know. So you're there in Virginia thinking, oh, my goodness. How long did you stay in Virginia?
I grew up there till I was about 20. Mm. I was also a bit conflicted by the whole Southern legacy.
Yeah.
And ironically, I was able to deal with that by moving a bit further south. And I lived in Athens, Georgia, which is this marvelous enclave of freaks and rockers in the middle of, you know, rural Georgia. And
because they think they're in Greece? Are they got confused? Is that what part of the story is? They're going, this is different.
Indeed.
Not quite what we expected, but yeah.
Oh, Lord. But, you know, as soon as I pulled into town, I fell in with the group of folks behind AIDS Athens, which is a marvelous community-based AIDS organization that serves the northeast 10-county region of Georgia. And I worked with them my entire time in Athens and loved it. It was a brilliant community. I mean, hey, most of our funding came from a drag show. I mean, who wouldn't want to work for an organization that gets their funding?
There's a link with all this, you know.
Marvelous. And you know, Southern queers are about the most radical people. I mean, you go to San Francisco and you see all the, like, hard tattooed folks, and they think that they're really cool and radical. And
but they're all log cabin Republicans, are they?
But I'll tell you, the real rad people are the folks in places like the Deep South who are not afraid to be out, to be who they are, and express who they are.
Yeah, I guess it's easy to be out when everyone else is, but to be the only
one
in
challenge,
town.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have a lot of respect for. I mean, freaks of all kinds, you know, and freaks, I say, with great.
In the nicest
possible
way.
Oh, yes. And I mean, that's you know, gays and lesbians, all my friends with HIV down there who were out about it. I mean, that's really hard to do. And, you know, just people with different political points of view.
What period of time are we talking? Which year?
This was early 90s.
So AIDS is still a fairly new thing to deal with. And as we know from history, the US didn't necessarily deal with that particularly well.
Not at all. And I don't know if you guys would know of a guy named Newt Gingrich, who is leading a Republican revolution in our backyard in Atlanta, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And so we spent a lot of time with, you know, supporting ACT UP and just protesting. While there was a lot to be angry about, I also really appreciate the fact that it allowed an opportunity for our community to come together.
Mm-hmm,
and, you know, while the protests would be quite frustrating, we did have a lot of good parties afterwards.
You need a team building exercise, right? This is the bonding exercise.
Yeah,
it makes you stronger.
Absolutely.
Stronger in the face of adversity.
It was... I have a lot of very good friends and fond memories of that time.
So were you actually actively working as well as being supportive in other roles? Or?
Yes, I was a HIV case manager and finishing up my degree in social work. And I went on to continue with HIV work in Los Angeles and also a bit in Washington, D.C., where I did my graduate work.
Okay, all right. And did you see some changes in those places, or was it... similar sort of issues faced by the community?
I think moving to California, I had probably the biggest culture shock of my life.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much like moving to a different country.
Yeah.
And I wasn't fully prepared for it. But that the sense of community that I had with the HIV community and gay and lesbian community in Athens, Georgia, I could not find in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And like you said, you know, it's there's nothing particularly...
binding to do it.
Exactly.
I mean, what, you hang out in West Hollywood at a bar and that's sort of the experience.
That's a community,
yeah.
How transient.
Yeah.
But maybe we might have another music break, but after that talk about you found a different group to be associated with in LA, a group that needed you, perhaps.
Oh,
you needed them
gracious,
as well.
Yes. my drummer and I were recruited by a teacher at Whitney High School. And Whitney is one of two high schools in LA that serve kids with chronic disabilities, most with multiple disabilities, often a physical issue as well as an intellectual one. And they were starting a rock band where the kids actually write their own words and sing, and they wanted a real professional band to back them up, and I was very fortunate to play with them for 6 years, and it was the best gig. The kids of Whitney High, by the way, are still going strong, and I encourage you guys to check them out, kidsofwhitneyhigh.com. Also on YouTube, there's a zillion great videos.
Fantastic.
And, you know, so many people are touched by disability in one way or another. And if you see the kids, it's the most uplifting thing, and it reminds you that, you know, people are all the same everywhere, no matter where you go.
Yeah. So maybe we'll listen to another track. What lined up for us? We haven't got Kids of Whitney High, unfortunately, but what's the one that you brought in to play this morning?
Well, if you'd like to hear a little bit of my countryside.
Oh, is this your Virginia roots?
Virginia roots.
I'll play you a lovely murder ballad that I wrote. Oh, it's the prettiest song you'll ever hear about.
That's true. It is murder ballad.
There you are. They're everywhere.
Well, that's right.
Speaking of we're everywhere, we had a lovely message from Tex. You
hey,
know Tex.
Tex. How you doing, Tex?
Oh, Tex, you know everybody.
So hi, Tex. Thanks for listening in. Yeah, he said Prop 8, not everyone knows what Prop 8 is. Well, Proposition 8, to turn over the law on same-sex marriage in California.
Yeah.
And as you said, the people who, the progressives who voted in Obama in couldn't be progressive enough to stick with gay marriage in their state.
There was a lot of campaigning in the church. And the church vote came out, the black church vote came out in large numbers for Obama, which was great.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, you know, Prop 8 is Prop 8, and the country is not ready for progressive change across the board.
The thing was actually overturning a law that was there. It's not as if they were saying, no, we don't want to vote it in. They're actually turning it over, which is very regressive.
Yeah, it's not the time and place now to go into how those laws think, but I tried to find out how someone can put a proposition up to overturn a law. It's a funny old system.
You just need to get signatures enough to do
it. Yeah, that's right. Power. Money and power. Back to those two things again. So, Kedron, we're talking about the kids of Whitney High.
Yeah.
So, and to be going on, it's obviously a really successful program for them, presumably giving them opportunity by writing their own music to express stuff that they haven't had the opportunity to do. So
that's right. And the stuff they come up with is sometimes very hard-hitting. Mm-hmm. Like we have a song called Doctor, Doctor, and the chorus is, please don't hurt me, Doctor, Doctor, please don't hurt me, ouch, ouch. And indeed, these kids, they've been poked and prodded since they were little. Yeah, and, you know, the songs are really fun, but having played them for many years, I've gotten to know the lyrics and I've gotten to know the kids who write them. And they're universal subjects. They come from, you know, the difficult experiences that a lot of these kids have had. But to see them play is nothing but fun. And it's great to be in a rock and roll band where no one's self-conscious.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No egos there, huh?
Yeah.
And obviously there are a different group of kids coming through now than there were 6 years
ago. Indeed. It's it changes, kind of like Menudo. But because they stay in high school quite late, from the time they're about 12 or 13 till they're 22, they are able to be in the band for many years. And The band becomes a family, and I know all of these kids very well, and
still keep in touch.
Oh, absolutely!
Yeah, I would imagine that those connections, you know, nothing would break them. In distance now, with the technology we've got, I guess it's like being next door. Anyway, so what are the plans for you now? You've left Wellington Access Radio?
Yes, I'm working now with the Association of Community Access Broadcasters, which is like a wee version of the CBAA here in Australia. And
Community Broadcasting Association of Australia.
Yes. And I also am doing some strategic work with new settlers to Wellington for the New Zealand government.
Oh, fantastic. And loving New Zealand?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's great. Great move. So, well, we're glad to have someone like you close by because, you know, Australia and New Zealand were sort of, you know, cousins, really.
Oh, absolutely.
So thank you very much for joining us this morning on Saturday Magazine and running through your journey with us, which sounds to me has just started.
Oh, thank you, Leanne. Thank you, Nick.
And thank you very much. And also thanks to Trevor Jones and Kathy Bell and Ashwin and Paul from VAC, and also to our newsreader, Anthony, who will be coming up very soon here on Saturday Magazine.
And I'll goodbye, Nick, and I'll see you again soon.
Thanks for looking after me.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.